We pass a lot of places. One place had sheep and goats. They were separated. They weren't together. For some reason, the sheep were at one end of the field and the goats were at the end of the field. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about farm animals today. We're going to talk about sheep and goats. And we know sheep and goats are different. Sheep are a little larger, have wool coats that require some care, where the others have hair coats. Curved horns versus pulled around horns. One's a grazer on the ground, the other one's a little more browser at eye level, eating plants and twigs and things that probably oughtn't to be eating. But one's more docile, friendly, a little calmer. The other one's a little more independent, curious, a little adventurous, wants to get out, do things. One likes to stay in a flock together. The other ones like to, don't mind wandering away, wandering on their own. Now, they both headbutt, but I guess a ram, a sheep, headbutts by running forward, just takes off running, where the goat tends to rear up and come down head first. I did read where there was a battle one time between the two. Now, by the time the sheep headed straight forward and the goat reared up, it didn't last long because the goat took one right in the belly before it came down. So the sheep won the battle. So containment's a little easier for the sheep. You know, little fence will do. The other one's a little harder. Need a little higher fence. Don't put anything beside it they can jump on and jump out of. And shepherds protect their sheep from the environment, for those things around them that will cause them harm, will cause them pain. Where it's said that the goat herders protect the environment from the goats. So I know sheep aren't the smartest tools in the shed, sharpest tools in the shed, you know. They tend to run off cliffs and run into running water where they can be weighted down by the wool and the water and drowned. So we know they're not the sharpest. It's probably why in Psalms 23 it says, lead us beside still waters. We can't handle that rushing water. We'll drown in it. But they know the master's voice and they respond in obedience. They know the voice. They understand who that is. So we're going to be in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. And it talks about this sheep and goats. And this is in a group of parables. I don't believe this is actually a parable. This is something that will happen. It has an application for a later time that's not here yet, but it also has principles, I think, for now. For us and to see how we fit in that. So we're going to read Matthew 25, 31 to 46. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And again, we ask the Spirit to unfold it for us, Lord. Make it clear. Make the meaning clear just to each one of us as we need it. Just speak to hearts and open them up to receive what you have for us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Son of Man comes in his glory with angels and sits on his throne. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. That won't happen for a while. So this would be after the tribulation period and right before the millennial period. Again, we know the tribulation period is a 7-year period, 2 3.5-year sections that the Bible said will come. There will be trouble in this world. I think we can, throughout history, people have looked at things going on in the world and seen, We can't go on much farther. You know, I'm sure they felt that way in World War I and probably World War II and other times that, you know, the end is coming. We can't continue this course. And I think a lot of people are looking at that today, that we can't continue this course. And I don't think we will continue the course. I think changes will come. But someday, it's going to come to where there will be this period of time. Things are going to be bad. All of those, but Satan has to be ready for it. You know, God is the only one that knows when this is coming. You know, he's the only one that knows. Satan doesn't know. So he's got to have people ready. You know, there's going to be an antichrist. You know, Satan copycats everything God does. So he's got to have somebody ready. Maybe that was Hitler at one time. Maybe, you know, you can name people in the past, but he's got to have somebody ready to take those positions when the time, when God allows him to do it. So he's got to have people ready. He's got to have you hear all this one world order, you know, it will happen someday. It will happen during the tribulation time. There will be one that takes over. There's going to have somebody that has all the answers and going to appear good and solve a lot of problems for 3.5 years. And then the trueness of his character and who he is comes out the last 3.5 years. And so we know this is after the rapture has taken place. The rapture is when the Christians, the believers, are taken away. I'm a pre-tribber, maybe you're a mid-tribber, maybe you're a post-tribber. I don't care, it's fine. I'm not gonna argue about that, but I tend to go with the pre-trib that will be taken at the beginning. And then I think that will open up all these things to happen. It'll make it easier for somebody to come to power because somebody's gonna have to explain why so many people aren't here anymore. You know, there's gonna have to be an explanation and someone's gonna have that. So, but the rapture's happened, you know, they're going through this time of the 7 years, you know, people are going to be martyred, you know, their life will go on, there will be births, there will be deaths, there will be people saved, much harder, obviously, but people will be saved during the time, but at some point, you know, you'll have to take the mark of the beast, now, whatever that is, to be able to buy, to be able to sell. We have a lot of, it seems like, rich folks pushing for this one world order. And some of them has mentioned chips and things. The only way we can accomplish that is through chips. So we can control people and know what they're doing. And, you know, everybody's on the same plane. So there will be death. a lot of destruction. You know, if you read through what happens, there's bowls poured and trumpets blown, and a lot of things happen. A lot of things happen to the world, the earth that we live on. Again, a lot of death, a lot of destruction. And then after the tribulation period, we know there's going to be at the end the Battle of Armageddon. It's near Mount Megiddo. And if you look at Mount Megiddo, which we've been on, Andy was probably there too, I don't know, but it's a big valley. It's a huge area. And when we were there, it's all green. It's pretty barren. They don't have a lot of trees in Israel, but a big area, but it was green, and it was pretty, and it was hard to see what that place is going to look like one day. But the Battle of Armageddon will be there, and that's going to happen because the Euphrates River is going to dry up, and that runs through Turkey and Syria and Iraq, and it goes down to the Persian Gulf. Well, that's going to dry up, he said, and that's going to allow armies from the east to come over. But you know what's east of there? East of there's Iran. East of there's China and other places. And we know the situation today, you know, with the threatening and the hostilities and, you know, Iran's funding and Iran saying, you better not do this or this will escalate. So Iran's behind a lot of it. So I can see where people think we're close. You know, things have lined up where it could happen. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's possible. So then we know the final. We know who wins. That's already been decided. The outcome's not in doubt. But then the judgment of the nations comes prior to the millennium. As you see, he calls the nations together. Son of Man, Jesus comes. He's got angels with him. He's sitting on the throne. He's sitting on the, prior to the millennium. It says he gathers the nations before him. This is prior to the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's going to be hard to get there, but there's going to be people. It's possible. There's going to be quite a few people left on earth still, even at that late date. Someone mentioned he thought there might still be 3 billion people on the earth at that time. That seems like an awful lot with what's going to happen to the earth, because there's a little over 8 billion on earth now. So from 8 billion, he's thinking there would still be 3 billion left. So I don't know if it'll be that many, but there will be people here. And those that there will be those that have taken the mark of the beast and those that haven't. You know, you have a choice. You don't have to take it. It will make it a lot harder. I know some look at location where you live will make it easier for you. You know, if you're a hunter and gatherer in remote regions where they don't have a lot of technology and things and you can live on your own, you can probably make it through. But for most, to buy and sell, you have a choice to take the mark or not. So some say it's location where you live that might help you survive that time. But then they get to this point, and there's going to be a separation. You know, we separate a lot of things. We separate our laundry, you put your whites and your colors over there, and you separate your weeds, pull them out of the plants, you know. Halloween comes up, who doesn't separate the candy? You know, you dump all that candy out and say, yours, mine, not yours. Take the good stuff. Give your buddy the other stuff. But separate our candy out even. But it's going to separate, Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep with the honor being on the right, and the goats on the left. You know, the right's always the powerful side that Jesus talks about. You know, he always talks about, God even talks about my right arm, my right hand. But there's only two divisions. So there's only two. There's not options. There's only one of those two that people at that time will be in. They're going to be on the goat side, or they're going to be on the sheep side. He's going to say to those on the right, he says, those who, which are those that have a right relationship with Jesus, and they have a right relationship with others. You know, he's going to say, come, you're blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. He's saying, take your place in the kingdom. You know, you've been deemed righteous. And he lists the reasons why. And then the sheep or believers or the righteous said, when did we do that? You know, they didn't recognize, when did we do that? And he said, when you took care of my people, when you took care of those in my flock. And when you did it for me. A lot of these, again, are thinking it's going to be a bad time again for Jews. You know, the Holocaust was very bad. It's going to be a bad time again for Jewish people. There will be 144,000 witnesses during the time that will be telling. And all Jews, God's drawing them to him, the restoration of the Jews. But the cause of salvation will be the same, which is Jesus. You know, that doesn't change. But the cause of salvation is shown by the effects of salvation. What it causes you and I to do. James, as we remember, we studied, said, you know, I show my faith by my deeds. You know, it's a working, it's a visible faith for others to see. So, again, the righteous as opposed to the leftists. I shouldn't go there. But you want to be on the right. You don't want to be on the left. Right is where God puts those he chooses. So believers and unbelievers will be separated. You know, and then the deeds of the believers will be recognized. And deeds of the unbeliever will be recognized. Or the lack of or absence of deeds of the unbeliever will be recognized, the things they didn't do. You know, don't always have to be against something. You just have to be indifferent. Just do nothing. He said, what you didn't do for others is what you didn't do for me. You know, there's no fence to ride on. You can't sit on the fence. You're on the sheep side or the goat side. You're on the right side or the left side. It says, on the left, he will say, depart from me. You know, one side's come. Grab a hold of what you were promised. On the other side, depart from me, you who are accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, that wasn't prepared for you and I. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's only available because you choose, if you choose to align yourself with the devil. And that's your choice. So you get to pick whether you want to be a sheep or a goat. But if you align yourself with the devil, you get the consequences that he's going to get, which is eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So it says they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's a difference right there. Sheep have eternal life. Eternal is a long time. And I don't think there's any way for us to grasp really what that is. You know, one mentioned, you know, a bird picks up a grain of sand from the east coast of the U.S. and flies over to Europe and drops it off. Not even close. Before he could empty, that's not even close to eternity, to move every grain of sand from the U.S. to Europe. Eternal is a long time. I want to go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Kind of continues on building. But 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should just build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet still will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So it's by the grace of God he chooses for us to allow us to be workers for his kingdom. You know, our work, our deeds matter. They make a difference if they're done for him. You know, if they're done just to make us feel good, if they're done just to make us feel like a good person, that's going to be burned up. It's not going to last. The quality won't be there. It'll be lost. But the ones we do for him are the ones that will count. It says, your work will be tested to see if it measures up to God's desires. And the quality of work by the believer, if it's acceptable, will be rewarded. You'll get rewarded. And again, those works burned up will be lost. So even though he's still saved, doesn't hurt your salvation. Doesn't hurt your eternity location. It hurts how you're going to celebrate that. Hurts what you're going to get when you get there. Now, sometimes I think, you know, it says, as one escaping through the flames, you know. Sometimes I guess the one that always comes to me in biblical terms is Lot. You know, Abraham and Lot, and you know, Lot chose the better place in his opinion. You know, he thought the better location. It was the one where the worst lived, but he chose that, and Abraham was fine. He'll take the other one. It's okay, you can have it. And then we come to the point in time, so Lot lived down there with his family. You know, he'd been around Abraham. He was a believer in things. But it comes down to the time where God and the angels come and said, look, the time's over for Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it's going to be destroyed. Of course, Abraham gets in a... I think God had fun with it. You know, Abraham thinks he's bargaining. You know, well, what if there's 50 people? Would you destroy it? First of all, he knows Lot and his family's down there. So, well, if there's 50 people, you know, would you destroy it for 50 people? And of course, God says no, and they keep this going, and of course, God's letting it go. Jesus is letting him go. And finally, they get down to 10 and 5 and say, yep, just for those, I won't destroy it. Well, we know they couldn't find that many. There weren't that many. There was basically Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. So they got to 4. So it makes me think, you know, either Lot didn't have any success in telling people about God, or he didn't try. He was just indifferent. He just let it go. And all those people were destroyed, even though he was saved. You know, the previous parables up to this chapter also talk about some parables and talents, bags of gold. The one just before this where they gave out gold and talents to different servants. The master did. And God gives us to be used for his purposes. He gives us talents as well. He gives us gifts. But he wants us to use them for his purposes. And he gives them to us based on our abilities. And he gives us those abilities. So he knows what we can. He knows what we can't do. He knows what we can do through him. So there's no excuses for not using them and developing them. But he wants us to use those, and then when the time comes to settle account, as they did in the parable, we'll face a reward from them too. And he says those who increased what they were given were met with, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." That's what we want to hear. That's what we'll want to hear. And to the next one did the same. He doubled what he was given. He made a difference. He increased for the master. And he got the same answer. "You've been faithful. I'm going to give you more. Come and share in your master's happiness." And then there's one that didn't do anything. He just hid it in the ground. He was afraid. He didn't want to lose the little bit he had. So he didn't do anything with it. He just saved it back. And he gave it back. He actually hid it in the ground. And he gave it back with no increase. And the master called him a wicked, lazy servant. And he took the bag and gave it to one of the others. So he took what he had and gave it to someone else. And he said, "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I know we mostly consider weeping and gnashing of teeth at judgment time, you know, for the heaven and hell version of judgment time. But I think we might consider there might be a little of this when rewards are passed out. When rewards come in and we didn't do what we could have done, we don't receive the rewards that others have earned. We don't receive the rewards that were meant for us, that he wanted to give us, but we didn't follow through, Lord. We were an indifferent, lazy believer. You know, there were indifferent, lazy non-believers, but that we can be an indifferent, lazy believer. Saved, yeah, of course. But maybe even the only one escaping through the flames. In our works, the things that God wants us to do, it didn't measure up. We either did them for ourselves, or we didn't do them at all. Maybe we just sat with them. We didn't use them. We became lazy. But we didn't use the gift he had given us for his kingdom, whether that's through fear, laziness, or indifference. But we elected not to use those gifts for his kingdom, and therefore we lost rewards. We lost the things he wanted to give us for all eternity. Not that we're not there with him, but we could have had so much more. He wants to give us so much more. He wants to give us abundant life here and there. We're going to have an invitation song in just a minute. But God is always a righteous judge. He always gives people what they deserve. You know, we tend to think, well, that person didn't deserve that, or that person deserved that. Well, God gives people what they deserve. He judges righteously. Sometimes he gives people what they desire. Sometimes they desire bad things. He says he gives them over. He gives them over. He gives them over to what's in their heart. You know, he said he hardened Pharaoh's heart. I don't think God actually hardened his heart. He gave him over to what Pharaoh wanted to be. His own desires. God didn't make him sin. God didn't make him evil. He chose to be that way. Sometimes God gives us over to our desires. He sometimes gives people what they wish for other people. You know, in Esther, you know, Haman had this all planned out for Mordecai. Turned around on him. What he wished for Haman, he received. Or for Mordecai, Haman received. Unforgiveness. You know, God says, you know, you don't forgive, I won't forgive. If we wish unforgiveness on people, he won't give it. He gives people what they wish on other people. So be careful. So you need to decide if you're going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. There's only two choices. God will separate them out. God did everything he can to make you a sheep. He gave you Jesus who died for you for that opportunity. Don't waste it. You know, and then if you choose life, don't waste the talents and abilities that he's given you for his service. Use them. Find a good reward for him. He wants to give you an abundant life here and in the future. Let's pray.